Chapter 2. The Unexpected Interloper. See with your marvelous eyes, rogue. Let no one die. Seek profit ever. The magical whisper, for his ears only, surprised Jarlaxle, but only for a moment. He immediately tried to identify the sender, a powerful priestess, obviously, but the voice was masked. His mind moved quickly, working to sort out the puzzle. Who knew about his marvelous eyes, referring almost certainly to his magical eye patch? That made him think of House Bayenry, of course, since Matron Mother Bayenry had been instrumental to Jarlaxle acquiring this most useful item. But no, this couldn't be a message from her, or one of her daughters, he figured. Bayenry's never shied from announcing themselves, magically or otherwise, nor did the city's matron mother ever deal with him or anyone cryptically. Matron Mother Bayenry wasn't one to allow anything worth talking about to hinge on a proper interpretation of an unclear message. Jarlaxle lifted his glass for a drink, using that to cover a much-needed deep breath. He replayed the message in his thoughts. Over the top of his glass, Jarlaxle surveyed the many patrons milling about the large common room of the oozing Myconid. He closed his one exposed eye and began to sway and hum, as if falling into the melody coming from a back corner of the room, where one bard was playing a lute, another a flute, and a third singing quietly. Those who knew Jarlaxle well, however, knew two things about that moment. First, Jarlaxle never closed his eyes in a public place, and so, second, the eye under that magical eye patch was surely open wide and seeing as clearly as if he were wearing no covering. Jarlaxle was quite the opposite of what he then appeared. Vulnerable. With every head movement to the left, he focused on the door, for there was always considerable turnover within the tavern, patrons leaving with partners for brief sexual encounters, or for stronger mind-numbing substances than could be found among the bar's wares. He knew most of the patrons as regulars, including more than a few of his own band. Each time he turned his head back to the right, his gaze went nearer the bar, the rogue swaying a bit more forcefully with his bardic melody. He noted Zacnaphane moving toward the bar to gather more drinks. Jarlaxle did well to hide his grin when he considered the weapon master. He hadn't seen Zacnaphane so frequently in 3 decades at least, but now his friend was visiting once more. In the last 2 10-days since their race from the West Wall, Zacnaphane had frequented the oozing Myconid no less than 3 times. It seemed like old times, and those old times, Jarlaxle thought, had been quite enjoyable. He couldn't help but smile, too, when he recalled a journey of theirs to Chedna Saad. It had been then, in flight from the city guards, that clever Zacnaphane had cut the edge of a high landing made of webbing and used that frayed edge like a rope, swinging down below. Such a daring move, and one that could have left Zacnaphane as no more than a stain on the chasm floor far below. Jarlaxle let the memory fade and focused again across the way, but not on Zacnaphane. Rather, he more closely watched Harbinder Trayrock, whose visage soured every time he glanced Zacnaphane's way, at least whenever Zacnaphane wasn't looking back at him. Jarlaxle had sent Zacnaphane to get 2 drinks, but Harbinder put only 1 up on the counter, then made a show of cleaning out a glass, taking his time until, Jarlaxle noticed, Zacnaphane had taken a sip from the first. Then the barkeep got the 2nd filled and up on the bar in short order. Interesting. The other former House Trayrock survivor was again at the bar by the far wall. Dabney laughed and flirted with a rather notorious rogue, one of the finest fighters and burglars in the Stench Streets, who was not a member of Bregan de Earth. Farther to the right, another group of miserable miscreants sat around a circular table, more unconscious than not, with 3 of the 5 having succumbed to their many intoxicants and the other 2 looking ready to collapse. And just beyond them stood Arathis Hune, fully engaged with a very young woman of obvious charms. Jarlaxle nodded, blending the movement in with his dance, when he noted that his lieutenant was still very much aware of his surroundings beyond the alluring woman, the man's eyes constantly scanning, subtle movements that Jarlaxle noticed only because he knew Hewn so well. Arathis Hewn didn't let down his guard, which was a big part of the reason Jarlaxle had moved him so high up the mercenary band's hierarchy. Jarlaxle continued to turn, thinking to go all the way around and back to the door, when a movement back to the left grabbed his attention once more. A young man walked past Dabney, very close, over to an interior door. She reacted only slightly, very slightly, as if she didn't want anyone to note that she had reacted. Then the young man disappeared through the door. Jarlaxle kept turning back to the left, noting Zacnaphane returning to the table, two drinks in hand. Jarlaxle fell back into his seat, again scanning the gathering back to the door. He grew frustrated. He replayed the magical whisper. "See with your marvelous eyes." A pair of men walked into the tavern. Zacnaphane took his seat and set a glass before Jarlaxle, who opened his visible eye and gathered it up absently, but still stared through his eye patch toward the door. Finally, the eye patch revealed it. One of the two drow men who had just entered was not as he appeared. His long hair had been dyed blue, and that was a feint within a feint, since the whole of it was a wig. Jarlaxle's eye patch could determine such things and showed him the man's true hair, cut very short on the sides and back, with a top longer. He was also more slender and younger than he appeared, as his shoulders were padded under his shabby jerkin, and with a finer set of armor hidden underneath as well. This was no houseless male. His face had been altered with makeup both mundane and magical, but the eye patch cut through all of that, and Jarlaxle actually recognized the man. The man who used to be known as Duvan Trerak. In that moment, clever Jarlaxle figured out who had sent him the magical whisper, and why. "Publicly drunk?" Zacnaphane asked, setting his mug back on the table. Jarlaxle noted a slight lisp in the weapon master's voice. He watched as Zacnaphane lifted his glass again, stared at it, then shrugged and raised it for another sip. Jarlaxle arched an eyebrow and Zacnaphane paused, the drink just below his lips. "A bit pungent," Zacnaphane said. "Not a fine batch." He shrugged and took his drink, and Jarlaxle looked down at his own. "Yours probably tastes better," Zacnaphane said, suddenly slurring. Jarlaxle caught on and smiled at his friend as he lifted his glass and tipped it in toast to Zacnaphane before taking a large swallow. He surveyed the room again as he drank, noting Duvan, some distance away but casting a glance Zacnaphane's way. "Mine is too weak," he told Zacnaphane. "Blech!" He licked his lips in apparent disgust and rose, shaking his head, then moved to the bar as if he meant to exchange the glass. He didn't, though, and instead set himself into position so that Dabney could clearly see his hands as he cupped them around the glass on the bar. "A risk is better made with a proper wager," his fingers signed to her, and her curious expression told him that she had noted his communication and that he had caught her off guard. "All noble children should understand this," Jarlaxle silently and subtly added. Dabney's eyes widened despite her obvious attempts to remain impassive. He hadn't just referred to her after all, but to someone she knew and knew about who had just entered the bar. Jarlaxle drained his glass and motioned for Harbinder to refill it. He gathered it up and started from the bar, trying to figure out how much the little game being played this night might cost him, and from whom he might recoup those expenses. He didn't head straight back to Zacnaphane's table, but took a roundabout route, bringing him right past Dabney and a couple of eager young men who were clearly looking to romance her that night. "I find myself quite lonely of late, good lady," Jarlaxle said. "I will leave room in my bed for you." One of the drow, a young man who clearly didn't know enough about the Brehren to ensure a long and healthy life, turned briskly to square up with Jarlaxle as if to warn him away. "My friend, I value this establishment too much to color it with your blood." Jarlaxle calmly said, and he gave a quick glance to Dabney, an invitation. It would be better if no one died in the oozing Myconid this night, she told her young suitor sweetly, but with all the weight of a priestess of Lol's voice behind it. Jarlaxle moved along, smiling at the thought of playing with Dabney that night, something he had not done in a long while, and pleased that his Bragandyearth associate had so clearly read the actual meaning in his cryptic hand signals. Not for the first time, and not for the last, Jarlaxle was glad of his decision that century ago to spare Dabney Trerac. He looked down at his drink, sad that he had to cradle this one. He couldn't afford to dull his senses at that time. "You could have brought one for me," Zaknafane said when he arrived at the table, the weapon master once more slurring his words, even wobbling a bit as he spoke them. "You don't look like you need one, my friend," Jarlaxle replied, "especially while in a dangerous place like this." Zaknafane snorted and pulled himself up to his feet, then started for the bar. He stumbled, though, and went a couple of steps to the side, bumping into another patron. That patron's companion took immediate offense. A blade flashed, indeed flashed more than anyone expected as a sudden brilliant light appeared, drawing groans and shouts from stunned, blinded, and angry dark elves. Even before countering darkness spells turned the light back to its normal dimness, Jarlaxle, who had, of course, thrown the ceramic pellet with the enchanted lightstone into the midst, launched a second such ball and was on his third trick, calling forth a minor spell from a ring he wore in his right hand. In the eye blink, before a dozen drow darkness spells overwhelmed the magical light and filled that whole section of the tavern with darkness, Jarlaxle saw that the attacking patron, Duvan, had both swords in hand. Duvan thrust one straight ahead while bringing the second down from on high powerfully, aiming for the hollow in Zaknafane's neck. Zaknafane, drawing only then, sent his left-hand blade across and out, taking the thrusting blade with it, while his right rose up horizontally to execute the second block, a brilliant and beautifully fast double draw that had Jarlaxle almost laughing out loud, both in admiration for Zaknafane and at himself for even fearing that his weapon master friend might actually be inebriated. That laugh didn't hold as the light blinked to absolute blackness, though, for the weight of Duvan's blow drove Zaknafane's sword down and even wobbled the weapon master's knees. Something was wrong. Dabney kept her focus on the spell casting and the blinking light. She tried to put aside her fears that Jarlaxle knew more than he should, and her even greater fears that she would fail him now and pay for it severely later on. By the time of the second, more complete darkness, her powerful wave of healing had launched, falling over the combatants, and not a moment too soon as both cried out as if stabbed. And more cries followed, those mostly of protest, accompanied by angry shouting and the screeching sound as a blade slipped across metal. Dabney neared panic. She started a second mass healing spell, thinking to throw it in the general direction of the fighters and hope it landed appropriately. Before she could, though, the light returned, a normal light for the tavern, and now Dabney scrambled to take it all in. She was surprised to see that a block of magical webs filled the area where the fight had started, with three drow, including the first to strike, fully caught, and with Zaknafane at the near edge, working to tear himself free. Many other blades were showing in the tavern then, however, a semicircle of drow with swords drawn and leveled at the combatants. Dabney considered them and recognized them and quickly relaxed. They were all Bragandyearth fighters, and into the center of their formation walked Jarlaxle. "Enough," the mercenary leader demanded. "There will be no blood shed in this place this night." "Too late," Zaknafane muttered back at him. "This is not your fight." "How dare you stop this," said the other combatant, clearing his mouth of the webs, but not moving too forcefully to otherwise break free. "Delay it," Jarlaxle corrected. "You will have your fight fairly in the alley behind this very establishment, three nights hence. Are we agreed?" "Now, tomorrow, the next day, or any other," Zaknafane said. "Agreed," said the other. To first blood or last blood? Jarlaxle asked. Last, both replied. Dabney sucked in her breath. Someone important in her life would likely die in 3 days. Now she just had to figure out which corpse would be of most benefit to her. Or perhaps not, she thought, when Jarlaxle declared, wrong, to surrender, and the humiliation that comes with it. That is worse than death.